Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Couple more athletes that people liked for things off of the field. Just because they were fun or what have you. Before we go around the NFL, from the 832, Jose Lima for the Casa Olé.
Oh. Perfect.
Again, yeah. That's right in my wheelhouse because that as a kid, that was how I knew him. Mm-hmm. That was the one, like that Casa Olé commercial. So that did it for me. And then from the 409, Vince Wilfork in overalls.
Hey, you know what? That HBO has made a lot of stars out of just kind of personalities and stuff.
That's kind of the whole idea of Hard Knocks. Yeah. Is like, hey, I mean, maybe obviously you see them do some football things, but usually, hey, these are some personalities here. Mm-hmm. That's the whole idea of those. The drive to survive, all of those, is like get people involved in the sport from the human story perspective side. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how I kind of got with Jameis Winston.
That's like, a good one.
I don't give a damn about what he do on the field. Mm-hmm. Just his personality, man.
It and there are probably a lot that don't even know that Jameis Winston is really that, you know, has that kind of career, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, he's the guy that was walking around New Orleans.
Yeah. Or honestly, you forget he was the number one overall pick at one point.
Yes. Yeah.
like we never talk about the conversation of his career, you know, kind of being, I don't want to call it a failure, but he didn't live up to that number one overall pick status.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's go around the NFL now and talk about a different quarterback who is now signed up. And his name is Aaron Rodgers. He is now they've put out the statement and everything. It's official, right? We're no longer doing the will they, won't they. They will. And Aaron Rodgers will be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. Don't worry about seeing if he makes it for training camp and whether Mason Rudolph will have to, you know, start week one. Mm-hmm. None of that is necessary. He is now the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hooray. We've gotten over this.
Hooray.
Is this actually going to work?
Like, you say hooray?
Where are we now on how the Steelers look? Because obviously this is a much better option quarterback-wise than Mason Rudolph. We've discussed that quite a bit, the idea of like that portion of this. But now that it's actually been consummated to some degree, what do we actually view of this pairing? Because I don't think that it is as celebratory as like I would have imagined or I would have thought in years past for certain. But it doesn't feel like it's that great of a pairing anyway.
No, it doesn't. And I'm sure Steelers fans, being Steelers fans, always, you know, and most football fans, you know, always hoping for the best and the big splash. And boy, it's really going to be good now. I'm sure they're happy with this. I'm guessing the majority of Steelers fans are happy. I don't think they should be for the same reasons that we've talked about a bunch of times. Like, what is the ceiling even with Aaron Rodgers? What is the ceiling with the Steelers? 10-7? First round exit? That's the ceiling to me.
Yeah, I think the thing, especially because as soon as you get – Aaron Rodgers in there. We talked about this a little bit with Clint, right? He always wants to run his offense. But even if he, you know, kind of is a new and improved Aaron Rodgers in this one regard of, okay, I'm not going to be as demanding when it comes to being in charge of things. We're going to let the offensive coordinator call things. That offensive coordinator's name is Arthur Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not very fond of him as an offensive coordinator. On top of the idea that, have you noticed that Mike Tomlin kind of has a type?
Yeah, he does.
Like, Mike Tomlin, in my mind, is the baddie that can't pick him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, in theory, right? And I say that to mean, you know, we've all seen the woman who was like, in theory, she can get whoever she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she seems to always pick somebody who is not good for her or what have you. Like, just don't
she
work out.
She likes the bad boys.
I don't even know if it's the bad boys, but the ones that don't work out. Like, just always toxic, unhappy, right? Yeah, and this is not the, hey, you know, she's picking a dude who is, you know, out kicking his coverage. Because sometimes they be happy and it's all good. Like, this is not happy necessarily because, like, do you remember when they had Matt Canada as the offense coordinator? Mm-hmm. And they kept Matt Canada for too long? Like, you remember, obviously, Arthur Smith you've had in there. I was going back and I was looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers. And do you remember a few years back when they had they started their year 11-0?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was
some were buying in.
Yeah, some people were looking at it like, yo, are the Pittsburgh Steelers for real? And I was like, are we watching the same game? Because this Pittsburgh Steelers team does not look good.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, I was like, all right, so who was the offensive coordinator that year? And that year, I believe, was, if memory serves me, that year was 2017, right?
Yeah.
I was like, who was the Pittsburgh Steelers coach, or offensive coordinator, rather, that year? Are you familiar with Todd Haley?
I am very familiar with Todd Haley.
Todd Haley, another one of those offensive coordinators that people were like, eh, like, it's just a whole bunch of, hey, what's happening with this offensive coordinator, despite the fact that, like, you know, Mike Tomlin seems to get it done. And it feels like this is another instance with Arthur Smith where I go, I don't really love him as an offensive coordinator. He does not seem to be, like, particularly innovative. He does not seem to be amongst the top 10 of the offensive coordinators in the league. You bring in Aaron Rodgers, and obviously he comes with some offensive things, but if Arthur Smith is still the one running point on this, I don't know how high you can get just to begin with.
I agree with the toxic relationship that could possibly be happening there, but for a different reason. With Arthur Smith, remember when he was with the Titans, rising star, boy, he's really getting a lot out of this squad, all that. He was, you know, one of the big favored names out there with the Titans. But he's also very inflexible.
Wait, when you said he was there with the Titans and he had a lot of good offense, did that also happen to coincide with Derrick Henry being really good at football?
Look, I'm just
asking questions.
No, I'm not saying how.
But Ryan Tannehill has some good years. Say what you want about what was around him.
I'm not saying how, but he was. That's undeniable. It's like, hey, Arthur Smith, you know, that guy is going to be this, this, or this. And then we saw in Atlanta, and this is why I think it's going to be a bad mix, Arthur Smith is headstrong. Arthur Smith is very much inflexible. He's very much my way or the highway. And you got Aaron Rodgers? Keep in mind, Kyle Pitts, when he was with Atlanta, Bijan Robinson, you know, is like, he is just like trying to put the square peg into the round hole because that's the way he wants it to be done. That ain't going to fly with Aaron Rodgers. And it's never flown with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Aaron Rodgers is a dude who can be at times too smart for his own good in some ways, which look, good, bad, what have you.
Yeah.
Yeah, if things are not working, he's looking at it like this does not make sense. I imagine even if he is trying to acquiesce, that would not go over nearly as well because he'd be looking at him being like, hey, why are we not doing the better thing?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm still very interested to see this, but at the very least, you're not running out Mason Rudolph here, right? Like, I feel like that's ultimately the win there. And another win is that they actually got this. They actually got this done. Because when did you think this was going to happen?
I thought it was going to wait all the way to training camp. Yeah, and then just come in and be Aaron Rodgers, you know, and try to, you know, try to just run the whole show. And I'm here now, and I'm here for the rescue and save the day and all that stuff. And then it was going to be a mess. I still think it's going to be a mess, but for a different reason.
Yeah. So best of luck to the Steelers. Congratulations on finally getting your guy. We'll see what that ultimately means for them in that AFC North that's not going to be very fun. The Ravens are still, you know, really tough. And then you look at the Bengals who are probably trying to resurge, and then whatever the Browns are going to be. I don't know. but as we continue around the NFL, it looks like the Colts might have dodged a little bit of injury news here because Michael Pittman had to leave practice early yesterday, which made you look up and go, you just had the news of Anthony Richardson dealing with a re-injury, a re-aggravation or what have you of that AC joint sprain that he had dealt with last year. Then it's going to have him out essentially indefinitely at this point. We don't know when that comes back, but they said no timeline is what Shane Steichen said. Well, it seems like, you know, there's not an injury there because Pittman, I guess when they were wrapping this thing up, they said that there's not major injury there. Like their further evaluation kind of put him in a place where it seems like they're going to be okay. So I thought that would have been there. But going back to the Anthony Richardson situation, why are there so many shoulder injuries in this division?
It's crazy. You're talking about, obviously, who knows with exactly what it is with C.J. Stroud and him and Trevor Lawrence. It was a shoulder, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was a shoulder that he was doing.
You sure it wasn't the hit on his from Aziz?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, that too.
If you so choose to view it that way. No, but yeah, there's a lot of shoulders happening in this particular division that makes you go, oh, that's interesting. But thankfully, I think we're in a place where you feel good about you feel good about the CJ shoulder thing.
I feel good that he'll be able to start the season. Yes.
That's right. Yes. That's right. Some other things around the NFL. How about this? Because obviously, Sean Payton has done a fantastic job there in Denver. And one of the things that we've seen this particular offseason is we're trying to find things to talk about. And of course, as the NFL has allowed players to go play in the LA 28 flag football Olympics. Or the Olympics, and with where you will have flag football being played, Sean Payton has been kind of asked, as a lot of people have been asked about this. He was asked not just about would you be willing to let your players play, about whether he would want to coach. And he said, quote, "I don't want to answer questions in 2028 when I'm focused on Friday," which I think great answer, which I think a lot of these folks could have utilized something similar. Hey, man, like that is a few years down the road. Do you think it's even a good idea to have an NFL coach that flag football team?
I was going to ask you the same thing. I go back and forth, you know, in terms of like concepts and, you know, utilizing speed and, you know, deception and all that. I think they would have a leg up on a lot of people, but they've never coached flag football. That's a different animal, man.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know that they'd have a leg. I imagine it being such a different world in the way that you play this, right? It does not operate in the same way as touch football, as gridiron football as we have it. It seems entirely odd to even like consider that. So I imagine that probably was part of it, but I don't know how you say, or maybe I guess you could say that part. Like, I don't know that feels like an entirely different sport.
I wonder if this is going to be a situation where the NFL has said, yeah, we're going to let our players, we encourage our players to play in the Olympics, but we want to kind of control it. Like back in the day when the NBA entered, you know, the Olympics, the NBA had a lot of say in everything.
Yeah.
You know, players, rosters, they reconfigured the U.S. Olympic, you know, a basketball program, put a lot of NBA people in there.
That was when Brian Colangelo got at the top.
Colangelo
of it, right?
Got in there. You know, you go back, you know, some of the you know, Daly, Chuck Daly and all that stuff. They said, we're going to do it, but we're going to have a big, you know, say in this. I could see the NFL doing that. I just hope that the NFL does it largely for like clicks, marketing, et cetera, but still let flag football people kind of do most of the heavy lifting when it comes to, you know,
the actual strategy
and stuff like that. Like make an icon the head coach, you know, hell, you know, 79-year-old Pete Carroll, you know, it kind of ties in with the Chuck Daly thing, you know, back in the day. Like he's the figurehead. We've got our players there, but hey, y'all, can y'all help us with this flag football thing? You know, like the real people that do it, you know, that one of those things.
Maybe so. Yeah. We'll see what that ultimately looks like in years, literally 3 years from now, or probably not 3 years to find out what the actual apparatus will be, but 3 years to actually see them play some football now, or some flag football. When we're actually talking about was playing real football, we mere months away. We're really
90 days from the first game today.
Is it officially 90 today?
90 days.
90 days from getting football back in our lives in a official capacity. We'll get some more football when it comes to mandatory mini camps that are starting up for the Texans next week. And you know, Texas obviously in division with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Liam Cohen, who was the new head coach of that team, and now really the offensive play caller, he's looking at his quarterback, and he thinks that he's drastically improved, talking about his footwork in specific, right? He said, I think just the rhythm of playing the position in every system is different, right? Drop of a quarterback is different, what have you. And he went on to just kind of praise Trevor Lawrence in this way. Does this give you any level thoughts on what he might be able to do with Trevor Lawrence this year? Is this the year that Trevor Lawrence puts it all together?
I just can't buy into it, man. I just can't buy into it. I've on the record, I don't know how I feel that it's going to be a bleep show over there, but it's going to be at minimum it's going to be worth watching with Jacksonville, with, you know, what they're doing over there. I mean, at what point all the technique, all the footwork, all that stuff, at what point does it become, nah, man, it's too late in the game for this guy to, you know, to really change that significantly, you know?
But the thing about him is, like, you could see the raw assets that he
still
has.
Yeah.
And it seems like Liam Cohen, who, I mean, look, I do wonder how good he is, because he had good results, but you look at Baker Mayfield and he might be a kingmaker.
Yeah.
In some ways. The last three, is it, offensive coaches that he's had have gotten head coaching jobs? We talked about Dave Canales, obviously, talked about Liam Cohen, and there's one more that I'm forgetting in this very moment. But, like, he's done a good job, and he might be a guy that is kind of helping and allowing these guys to be better versions of themselves. So I'm interested. But, I mean, it does feel like he is getting down to, like, the details of, you know, reimagining what Trevor Lawrence's game is, and maybe, just maybe, allowing him to actually exist in the you know,
what year
potential
is this
he
for
has.
Trevor Lawrence?
Is this year five?
Five?
I believe.
Yeah, because he just got his contract. He just got a new contract, what, last year?
Yeah.
Last season?
That's kind of late.
This is the last
game.
One, though, right? Like, this is the last year before we lock you into what you are at this point, right?
Year five, I mean, talk footwork all you want,
man. Yeah, maybe this is him. Maybe he's just an average quarterback, like kind of middle of the pack type of quarterback.
And maybe you can give him above average in some cases. You know, he's thrown for over 4,000 yards and all that. But year five, and you're like, oh, okay. Do your feet this way, and all of a sudden you're going to be all pro.
I'm just,
you know?
And I mean, the reason why I can maybe see this is Doug Peterson, who is an offensive guy, right? Mm-hmm. Who was the previous coach of the Jaguars. It didn't feel like he was, you know, he had the level of investment that you won, whether it was because of, like, you know, infighting or what have you within within the organization. It feels like Liam Cohen, like, obviously fresh, having more opportunity coming in with that that exuberance, maybe that will help him, you know, be a little bit more tight end on his P's and Q's. But, yeah, man, I think we're getting to a place where we could probably write the book on who Trevor Lawrence is.
After this year, for sure.
Right.
Like, unless he works a miracle and that little foot adjustment makes him all pro, we'll know.
Yeah. All right. So you're around the NFL here. In the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Really, Aaron Rodgers, we can put that to bed now. At least the will they, won't they of it all.
Thanks for joining us. We've been expecting you.
It'll be, yeah. Now we just have to watch Aaron Rodgers play football again. See if he still got it in the arm and everything. So we'll see what that looks like. All right. Coming up next, Lopez has a little segment for us that he is entitled, You Good With It, right? So NFL list season is going up this week. So he's compiled various lists to see how the Texans rank in these very various places. Are you good with these various lists? We'll start that next. Wait. So
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Was it a Funky Friday at this point?
I guess it is,
all right,
man.
I guess it's a Funky Friday.
Once you hear Word Up, you don't even have to ask that question.
That's right. In the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a Funky Friday. Appreciate you hanging out with us. By the way, a heads up, because I always forget to do this, and I want to make sure that today is not a day that I forget to do this. The Drive will be live on location, the 10th stop of their crawfish tour. I believe that it's Christian's Tailgate in the Energy Corridor right there off of Highway 6. I've already been committed to going, so I guess I'm going out there to give me some crawfish as well. Don't let that stop you. Go. The guys will be out there. There'll be prizes to give away as they always do. And of course,
who working today?
The Drive. I know Clint's there. I actually don't know who is because I know Ron is still in Aruba. I don't know who's rolling with Clint today. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's B. Scott again.
Let's try
I don't
to
know
take
if Luke
a
Morrow jumping in.
Luke.
I'm gonna go with Luke.
Yeah, I think it's Luke Morrow jumping in. The man who wears gloves.
It's a wild
when
guess.
He eats crawfish too.
Yeah.
But either way, the show is always fantastic. So. Come out, see what's happening with the fellas, get you some crawfish, and then, of course, see if you can win some prizes out there. But, Lopez, you put this together because it is kind of list season.
You gave me the idea.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Because yesterday we had a really good list. You know, what we're talking about.
That was not a really good list. What you mean?
Yeah, it was a bad list.
No, we went through. Okay. It was a really good, it was a fun segment.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Going about the new first year duos of quarterback receiver. And I went,
still can't believe of the new combinations. Yeah, man. Yeah. I get it. Chris Olave is good at football, but Tyler Shuck and Chris Olave over CJ and Christian Kirk, huh?
So blame you, though, because I saw.
Me?
Because you said.
I ain't write that.
You said it's list season. I said it sure is.
That's right.
Let's see if we're good with these lists.
Okay, so we're just going to, let's dig into more of them. See how these lists, and let's get a better understanding of how, you know, some of the national media is viewing this Texas team heading into year three of D'Amico Ryans, year three of C.J. Stroud, new offensive coordinator coming off of the year in which your offensive line, or really, I mean, your offensive coordinator, and however you decide to parse the blame there, were kind of exposed on the national stage a couple of times.
Yeah.
At least two real national embarrassments. Like, how are people viewing this Texas team? And where do you want to begin here, Lopez?
All right, so I think it says a lot as you look at them all. You know, what the national narrative is on the Texans going. And by the way, these lists are all after OTAs started. So the most recent list.
Okay, so we're getting that new.
Yeah, the most recent list. I got team rankings, cornerbacks, offensive lines, edge rushers, and quarterbacks. I'm going to start with team ranking.
Okay, so just up and down. Where are they viewing?
As we go into, as we're in and past now, OTAs. I'm going to go through the top ones relatively quickly because you know it. And then I'm going to talk about where the Texans are in relation to others. Number one, Eagles. Two, Chiefs. Three, Bills.
He not letting us guess or nothing. That's crazy.
Four.
Bro. Texans?
Lions.
Oh, okay. Oh,
over the Ravens? Okay.
Yeah, that is interesting. The Ravens are slipping here. But I, the way that you stopped, I'm just conditioned to when somebody stops like that. It's like, oh, this is the part that we want to know. Okay, never mind. Bad.
Five.
Ravens.
Ravens here.
Commanders.
What?
Really?
You gotta be lying.
Hold on.
What?
I am not lying.
Is there a write-up on why the Commanders
wait,
are
there? Yeah. Where is the Ravens at?
we'll get there.
The Commanders. Surprise team last year doesn't come close to accurately describing how impressive their 2024 run was. Jaden, this sounds a lot like they were talking about the Texans
last year. Yeah,
last year.
That's what it is, that's man.
Exactly
what it is. They drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Six. Ravens.
Ravens.
Okay.
Yeah. Seven. Rams. Your opener. Eight, Broncos.
Ooh, okay.
That's pretty high.
Nine, Vikings.
All right.
Keep in mind, you haven't heard the Texans yet.
No, we have not.
Yeah. 10, Chargers.
Really? The Chargers? See,
and the Texans beat the Chargers, man.
Yeah.
Right, so there's that head-to-head there. But then also, like, this is where I am going to have, like, some of the other ones I can kind of see. This, I'll have some complaints here because the Chargers did not, I don't think they made their defense markedly better talent-wise. Mm-hmm. And that was a thing that was tough with them is that they felt like their defense did the right things, was really solid. But I did not look at their defense as highly talented. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the same this year. And I don't think that you can look at the, you know, the way the Texans play them and the way that the Texans are, you know, constituted. And you know, without having them, you know, up their defense, say this, say that they are better as a team, whether you talk about construction or play.
They leaned heavily into Jim Harbaugh and the additions on the offense. Mekhi Becton, Mike Williams, Najee Harris, Trey Harris, and such.
Did you read the Bengals at all on this list?
Not yet.
See, that's kind of crazy too, man. It seemed like they leaned heavy into the AFC West.
Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, Lions, Commanders, Ravens, Rams, Broncos, Vikings, Chargers, 11, Packers.
All right, so this is disrespect.
Well, that's kind of the exercise.
There's disrespect.
Like, what do people think about the Texans now?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
The Texans defense last year was one of the absolute best in the league. Mm-hmm. Like top five defense, just to put it conservatively at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like there's not enough respect for that, or there's just no belief in
the
offense.
That's it.
There's reasons. We've talked up and down about the reasons why there is to have some skepticism of what's happening here, right? Did they do enough with building the offensive line? We'll talk a little bit more about the offensive line at noon. You have a first-time play caller stepping up in Nick Caley, and the added wrinkle of that is, he's coming from like the, you know, the tree of guys that you look at and you go, oh man, they're, you know, they are touched by God or what have you. But one of the things that ends up being funny is as you get to like a particular a particular coach's coaching tree, their assistants, mm-hmm. after a while, you're getting further and further away from the guys that have like the system down pat. And you're getting guys who have had shorter and shorter tenures in there. And in theory, you might be getting further away from the guys who can really bring you what you're thinking that you're getting from that tree. And Nick Caley might, if you looked at the way that he's, mm-hmm. Situated where he had 2 years with the Rams, you might be able to argue how strong of a grasp does he have on what that system
right.
is. I'm not saying that he doesn't. I'm excited to see what he has. There's been a few things that you could point to, his attention to detail and intent and trying to make sure that his players know what they're doing and some of those things. But I think all of those are fair questions. But questions enough to put you behind the Chargers, what the Chargers are doing here, behind the Green Bay Packers, who admittedly I like. It feels like there's too much disrespect happening here.
But wait, there's more.
Really?
12, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 13, Bengals.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, it seemed like the Bengals got a chip on their shoulder, man.
Yeah, the Bengals will definitely
Goodness.
Should be in that. 14, Arizona Cardinals.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going.
15, Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
What?
They were assuming, by the, this list was yesterday. I looked it up. Yeah. This was NFL, one of the NFL websites, and I'll look it up and get it to you. 16, Niners. 17, Houston Texans.
Wow.
17.
What do they write about the Houston Texans here?
It's confounding. That's how I would describe the Texans' offense in one offseason in one word. Traded away Laremy Tunsil. Instead of attacking the offensive line's woes head on, they made a series of moves that should be labeled as questionable when assessing true upgrades. On a more positive note, adding Christian Kirk in the slot and Jaden Higgins should give third-year quarterback C.J. Stroud plenty of weapons. Defensively, they got plenty of talent. This should be a 10-plus win team on paper, but as we learned last year, things don't always align with expectations. Either way, they need Stroud and get this offense on track.
And all that accounts to being the 17th best team?
17.
Yeah, honestly, the way they put it, it kind of makes sense.
Well, you could tell from the start it was about the offense.
Yeah, it was about the offense. Yeah. And then when you, from the outside looking in, you're trading your best offensive tackle
mm-hmm.
and not really having a sure replacement or a better replacement.
Mm-hmm.
I could kind of see where they're going with it. I disagree,
but
I could kind of see where they're going with it. I just can't. they beat the Chargers in the playoffs, man. I felt like the Chargers was a little more disappointing to me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a reason to be kind of further down the list.
I'd be mad if I was a Bengals fan.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
You're shaking your head.
Yeah, I mean, like all those things, we understand them. I think we've discussed them at great length. That still feels like that is very, very low. And maybe it does not give enough credit. Talking about the defense was a throwaway line. There's a lot of talent on the defense.
We
didn't talk about you already had a lot of talent and you added to the places where you had a little bit of weakness. And this defense looks almost infallible.
Mm-hmm.
Like that should get a little bit more love than it does there. And it doesn't. I think that list is awful.
I'll make you feel a little better. And we can follow up on this some more. Ranking the best cornerbacks.
Oh, we don't even have time to get in this, but I imagine just
the
cornerback group, and this is what, Pro Football Focus?
This one is Pro Football Focus. Sauce Gardner, in order. Patrick Surtain.
Oh, I remember that. Like individuals.
I've seen this one. Because
this has Derek Stingley fifth, right?
Yep, Derek Stingley fifth. And get this, number 32, Kamari Lassiter. No, 31, Kamari Lassiter. So this was the 32 best cornerbacks in the NFL. You got Stingley 5 and Lassiter 31.
I appreciate the love for Lassiter. The top of the list makes me feel a little uncomfortable, though. The idea that not only do they – the Sauce Gardner above –
Now, Surtain you get.
Above Derek Stingley Jr. seems to not make sense considering that those guys came in at the same time. And I know development isn't linear. Sometimes you take steps back. But Stingley has been nails all the way through.
Stingley never took a step back.
Correct.
Yeah.
I feel like he got better each year.
Mm-hmm.
But even that is weird. But then putting Sauce Gardner above Pat Surtain as well, who also has not taken a step back, makes it all feel very uncomfortable to the place where I can't even appreciate the idea. They're one of the people that is starting to be very cognizant about showing Kamari Lassiter love, because Kamari Lassiter doesn't feel like he's gotten enough. as cornerback. Yeah, so even then, that list has not hit me the way that I wanted to. We're just getting going on whether you good with it on these. And it's two no's for me, Lopez.
No and no on the first two. We got three more.
Are you good with either of those?
I got no.
Okay. All right. So let's see if the Houston disrespect continues when we get that a little bit later on in the program. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping. Revisiting another Astros victory as they continue in their road trip, but also there's some rumors on a potential Rockets target. Let's talk about that and more next. All right, let's get into what's popping here on a Friday in the loop on Sports Radio 610. And of course, a big time victory versus the Pittsburgh Pirates late last night after a pretty extensive rain delay. What was supposed to be a 5:40 Central first pitch, a 6:40 Eastern first pitch, ultimately ended up starting right about the same time as the basketball game, the game one right there. Actually, it was like nine local or nine here. In Central time that they started playing baseball. The time did not matter, though, when it came to Framber Valdez throwing that heat. Mm-hmm. 7 innings of work, 11 strikeouts, a season high for Framber Valdez. So if you want to think about whether he is getting better throughout the season, the answer is absolutely yes for him. Like the last two have been his best, right?
Yeah, well, and even before that, yeah, I need to go through all his game logs, but even before that, he was really, you know, it was only really one day where you're like, oof, is that the good Framber or the bad Framber?
Yeah, no, you got a great iteration of Framber throwing 99 pitches in this one and ultimately getting a victory 8-2. And, of course, the dudes that you really have to salute in this one, I mean, you give everybody a little bit of love because everybody at least hit the ball hard and everybody except for three had hits. But top of the order looked really solid when you talk about Jeremy Peña on a 3-for-5 night, a couple of runs himself. And then Isak Paredes, obviously, with the two home runs, which really pops off. Mm-hmm. Those two home runs, I did want to note, helped create a little bit of separation between him and one Alex Bregman, another third baseman.
I'm sorry,
who? Have you heard of him? Alex Bregman? Yeah. Are you familiar with this gentleman? Bregman with 11 home runs. Isak Paredes now with 14. And interestingly enough, like, Isak Paredes is now third in, well, I mean, he had been prior as well, third in home runs amongst third basemen, second in home runs amongst third basemen in the American League. And I just remember that as we're talking about, you know, all-star voting opening up. Like, he is probably your best position field player when it comes to securing a potential starting all-star.
I was just going to say, like, where would you rank him? One?
When it comes to Astros?
Yeah.
I think he's probably one, assuming that we're not putting Hunter Brown in here, right? Like, talking pitchers?
Yeah, pitchers are, they just.
All right. I think Isak is up there. The thing that's tough with Jeremy Peña at short is that, I mean, Jacob Wilson, the young cat for the Athletics, has been phenomenal this season. He, a 925 rather OPS for the young man with a pretty solid slug. He hasn't really struck out as well. He's just been really good. But Peña, right there with you. I mean, he's second in OPS amongst shortstops in the AL. But that guy being there and the way that he's come on the scene, I think that he's also flashy in addition. So I imagine that he'll get a little bit of love there where Jeremy Peña might not be able to start. But, I mean, he's situating himself very well to be an all-star, Jeremy Peña is. Outside of that, like, I don't know who I point to necessarily. Like, Jake Myers has been good. He's not going to be voted. I was like, does he feel like all-star voter? Especially if we're talking about, like, all-star starter feels like that's outside of the...
Don't even hold out hope. That's not going to happen with the big names that play the outfield. But, I mean, if the managers, you know, have a say, he might get in there, you know? You know what's interesting about the All-Star vote, too, when I cast my one ballot?
Have you cast it yet?
No, I have not.
You're going to wait till the last day?
No, but I might do it this weekend because you guys...
You're going to vote for one person.
No.
She's not even going to put a full ballot together?
One ballot.
He's going to be like, this Pete Crow Armstrong cat, he's been out here cooking. 23 years old, dominating the National
League. I'll just vote for one person.
You are the one guy that is the John Lopez All-Star.
Like those Hall of Fame voters? Yeah, you're going to have to wait. There's really only one guy that I think is a Hall of Famer this year. No, I'm going to do one ballot. But no, what I was going to say is Jose Altuve is listed as a second baseman on the All-Star ballot.
Okay.
He might get it. because of the name popularity, because of the, you know, force of habit. Oh, Altuve, I hate him, but dude's an all-star. You know, that kind of thing.
Let me see, because who do you have here playing well as maybe.
Right? Wouldn't that be wild?
That'd be very weird. Yeah. That'd be very weird.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see what that looks
like. Do you
have
the second base numbers in front of you? And really, name recognition is the main thing.
I mean, I have – I'm just kind of looking at OPS, but OPS is not going to be the end-all, be-all when it comes to, you know, who you ultimately have up there. But, I mean, Gleyber Torres has been playing well on a team that is a team that is going – that is looking like the best team in baseball at this point in the Detroit Tigers. So he's up there. Brandon Lau? I always remember which, because they got two.
Oh, they got two. They
got Low and they got Lau.
Spelled the same way.
Yeah, and that it gets me every time.
Yeah.
But one of them cats. He's been swinging the bat decently himself. And then Jackson Holliday for the Orioles, especially as they heat up a little bit, has been playing pretty well. So I do wonder what's happened there. 713 asks, do you think Fromber and Brown both make the All Star game?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I'm going to say no, but I think it's a good argument.
Reserve the right to change your mind later. And I think maybe the most interesting question that we probably need to think about a little bit is, as Fromber continues to pitch really well, and especially as this team continues to look like they're going to be in contention, probably not going to train him at the deadline.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Does that mean that you got to get yourself ready for Fromber to walk, possibly? Especially knowing this team's MO when it comes to time to pay dudes that want big money.
I think absolutely you do. I mean, you just explain the reason why. I mean, this is how they play things. I would love to see Fromber make it just because ultimately they're going to look at how many pitchers and the record. You know, he's been pitching so well, but he's 6-4, and you know, is that really All Star right now or whatever? Gosh. Depending on what happens, you know,
I feel so antiquated to be looking at the record.
They
knowing,
do
knowing
they
how
do.
Much how much of this depend is dependent on the, what know, kind of run support you get. It's so frustrating.
You know how it works.
It's so frustrating. It's like you're not isolating the variable on how good that dude has been by looking at well, what's his record?
Yeah,
I hate it.
Yeah,
I get it, but I hate it. Some other things that are popping right now. Mind you, because I know that you've been wanting to talk about this. Have you been watching some Women's College World Series?
I watched last night a little bit.
University of Texas gets their lick back, and they will take this to a decisive game.
No, Texas Tech won last
night. Tech, rather. Yeah. Texas won the first one. Apologies. Yeah. I'm a day behind in a way, but Texas Tech, rather, gets their lick back. It's tough when you have – I think this is the first time in a good minute that we have two teams from the same state duking
it out.
Long
live the Southwest Conference, baby.
Duking it out for a Women's College World Series there. But you got Texas Tech and UT. And they're going to a winner-take-all, right? And you wanted to shout out this particular young woman who is, one, killing it on the diamond, but also, two, killing it in the NIL. She's making big money. Mm-hmm. Najari Kennedy, who she's pitched every inning for the Red Raiders since the start of the Super Regionals.
Okay, say that again.
She has pitched every inning for the Texas Tech Red Raiders since the start of the Super Regionals.
That's 7 games in a row. 5 games since the World Series has started. She's pitched every inning. Every inning.
This is why she's making all this NIL money. It's like you turn on Texas Tech, you gonna see her.
She's making $1 million in NIL. Money well spent. I don't care what anybody says about, you know, what this or that. She's gonna pitch 8 straight games of every inning if they win this thing. Pitch.
Now, I kind of want them to win off of that. Just, it feels like that's the type of performance, right? When we talk about championship performances, that's the type of thing that you want to be able to talk about when you're talking about a champion. She is operating like a champion.
Yeah, I mean.
This is a very much I want the ball type mentality, especially as we fawn over, you know, MJ and Kobe and like, I want the ball. Like, this feels like that's I want the ball.
Well, she's going to have the ball.
That's right.
She's going to have the ball.
We'll see what game 3, winner take all looks like. There was a rumor that came up just today, in fact, as I've been amazed that it seems like the New York Knicks have popped up since they've been bounced from the playoffs as now some level of favorites to be in contention, not just for Giannis Antetokounmpo, but for KD. I'm just like, oh, so all of a sudden the Knicks just gonna get everything? And I'm like, how much is this bias or how much is this something else entirely? But Gary Wolfel.
Longtime NBA writer. He's been doing it a long time. He's got numerous NBA writers awards in there. He's legit.
Yeah, he is throwing out there something that looks very interesting is the possibility of a Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jason Kidd reunion in New York. That's where he sees like the report of the Knicks trying to, you know, having interest in Jason Kidd. And he also mentioned Ime Udoka, which we were like, no, that's not happening. But that possibly, just seeing if they could poach Kidd, especially as Kidd might not be happy in that situation in Dallas with the, you know, the movings and shakings that have happened there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember like Jason Kidd when he was able to, you know, finagle his way into being the head coach in Milwaukee. He was tough, but Jason, Giannis loved having him as a coach. Like, if that happens, I could easily see that being like a big deciding factor on Giannis's end on wanting to play in a particular place. I don't know that I'm interested in what they would have to give, because it feels like they don't have draft picks really.
Mm-hmm.
At least not a package that would be appealing to the Milwaukee Bucks. So I'm like, is this like a, we're hinging this on Karl Anthony Towns? Would you want a Karl Anthony Towns? Is that kind of the backbone of a deal that they do there? But if they're able to do that, that would kind of, you know, run counter to the Rockets having the best opportunity to select, to acquire the services of Giannis.
And he said, Wolfel, who is reporting this, said the Knicks are preparing to make a, quote, tsunami-type offer for Giannis. But to your point, that's big-time players. I mean, right? That has to be just players?
Yeah, it feels like it, because, I mean, unless they are going to do a thing where they get really active this offseason, they start moving moving guys in order to get picks that ultimately then they'll use then to they package use together.
And how are they going to get Kidd?
I mean, I imagine that would have to be some level of trade as well.
Yeah.
Which, more assets they have to go out the door in order to do that.
Well, they're just so desperate right now.
Like,
they were that close.
New York basketball,
they were that
baby.
Close.
So, but I think that makes it. And maybe this is part of what Raphael Stone was pointing to all along, right? The idea of these guys that you're looking out there, they might not be as easily accessible, and we're not going to go out of the way to break the bank in order to make these things happen. Of course, these are all rumors that are happening right now, but we'll continue to watch those in that space. From the 8-2, the Astros are in first place, have the third best record in the AL. You guys talk about them like they're some ragtag team that could barely function.
Do we?
I mean, there are things that are in front of them that make this a little tough. I think also, like, you had a fantastic Framber Valdez day, but you see what happens when you have to have someone else like Colton Gorin or Ryan Gusto, especially because of the lack of depth that they can get into games, the pen and the ways that it can be taxed. And then the offense popped up yesterday, but there, you know, you go back a single day and you see the ways that the offense can be, you know, can be rough. So it really fluctuates in a way that, yes, I understand it's baseball and there's going to be a natural fluctuation, but it feels like this is more so. Plus, I mean, there are challenges that are ahead.
And by the way,
challenges ahead.
Vast difference from the way you talk about the Texans. You need to listen a little more.
I think the key thing when talking about the Astros is early, man. It's still early.
That is true. It is always worth
remembering. Still early, man. Yeah. A lot more baseball.
There is.
A lot more baseball.
A lot more baseball, including a weekend set against the Guardians that starts tonight. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, there's something that happened online yesterday when it comes to a Houston Texan. And I thought, is this the proof that that shows that mindset shift that D'Amico Ryan has talked about and that we've all been looking for on that offensive line? Let's discuss that next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.